Medical schemes are now obligated to pay up for COVID-19 related tests and treatments for their members. And on top of that, the Council of Medical Schemes proposed that medical aid schemes be prepared to offer premium instalment holidays where the need arises. Well, to discuss the cost implications and more, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Katleho Mutudi. He's the MD of the Board of Healthcare Funders. Thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Mutudi. So you've put out a statement saying that medical schemes are paying on average around 150,000 rand for COVID-19 patients. What kind of services does that encompass? And currently, because there's no cure, apart from the use of ventilators, what drugs are used to help treat these patients?
From the reports that our associates have given us, the treatment actually covers everything from the initial testing, and then once they are in hospital, there is obviously an accommodation cost, and then professional services, as well as other treatment. The high average, may be as a result of the high level of care. So, from the numbers gleaned from the Sentinel survey, it shows that about roughly 45% of those who are admitted are either in high care or in ICU. The pertaining to the specific medication, I have no information on that.
Right.
Because it is under the control of the doctors that are looking at the patient. So but I imagine that they are following general guidelines gleaned from other countries.
Right. So concerns have been raised that during the lockdown period, and because of genuine fears around the virus, people or fewer people than usual have been seeking medical attention, while some with chronic illnesses have not been keeping up with their appointments and medication. This is a rather worrying development. What have your observations been in this regard?
Yes, from the data that is coming through, one, there is for some schemes, up to 60% decline in either authorizations or claims from hospitals. While it was expected for the so-called surgical procedures, which a large proportion of which would be what is called elective, because it will be like pre-planned and not regarded as an emergency at that stage. Mm. The surprise is those that are linked to medical conditions. So you'll find people with asthma, diabetes, hypertension, there has been a decline. And a worrying one for us as well is a reduction of up to about 50% of mental health admissions. And that is a worrying thing. In terms of collection of chronic medicine, there seems to be stabilization to date, and we're relying on 2 months data.
Yes.
That shows that people have been collecting medicine. And what some schemes did, they were proactive. They arranged or converted most of their chronic beneficiaries to CREA services so that they continue getting their chronic medicine. But there is a concern that there will be those who either do not follow up and do the necessary pathology test. For example, those who are HIV positive or diabetic, you might find they don't do the tests that validate their stability. And those are the concerning groups, because we might maybe when this thing blows over, find that either people's conditions have deteriorated, and maybe they've developed other complications.
Of course, it's important for individuals to take responsibility for their own health, but what can health providers be doing to give those seeking medical attention more confidence in terms of the safety of visiting facilities and that feeling of being, you know, separated from COVID-19 patients?
So I think that there will be anxiety, and we I think the change in the health-seeking behavior, although it's concerning, is not surprising. So it is important that we have to deal with things differently. So what happened at the beginning of the pandemic's descent on us, we, from a policy perspective, discussed with the Health Professional Council of South Africa to to allow for what we call telehealth, and this is virtual consultations and healthcare seeking by beneficiaries. And most schemes have actually communicated that not just to practitioners, but also to their patients, to say for certain services, you are able to call your practitioner and have a virtual consultation.
Yes.
Good thing is that under even the lockdown regulations, certain areas like pharmacies, for example, have been deemed to be essential services. So under control measures, which are, of course, governed by the regulations, patients can still seek help in terms of those virtual consultations, maybe also getting their scripts telephonically, and then being able to collect the medicines.
Hmm.
The other thing is to make sure that they do also monitor their conditions. This means from time to time they might be required to go to pathology labs, for example.
Yes.
And make sure that they understand firstly what are the rules that are in that place. And you'll see when you walk into maybe a pharmacy, for example, they will guide you. There's sanitization, keep your distance. When you come to the counter, there will be screens, etc., and the wearing of masks. And I think that would go a long way into firstly allaying the fear, but also making sure that people are aware that certain services cannot be stopped. Even during this harsh condition.
Yeah. So with the national lockdown, it's put working people into real difficulties, with some not getting an income during the period and some jobs obviously hanging in the balance. Have medical aid schemes been amenable to installment payment holidays? And if that is the case, what happens when a claimable issue strikes, but of course you haven't paid your installment?
Yeah, so the approach has not been uniform because you are aware there are about 78 schemes, and each one would have its own different conditions. For example, the majority of the schemes would be employer-based. The size differs. Some of the open schemes would have large employer groups. Some would have many individual members. So the interventions have also been varied. What we did from the Board of Healthcare Funders side is that we approached the regulator, the Council for Medical Schemes, quite early on and said there will be a number of interventions that schemes would look at to seek relief for their beneficiaries, and they should be open to certain exemptions that might come up. As you know, that the industry is highly and tightly regulated by the Medical Schemes Act first, and then secondly, by the scheme rules that are approved by members and overseen by the trustees.
Yes.
That each scheme, when it is examined its circumstances, could approach the council or talk to the trustees to look at several methods. One could be a discussion with the employer group, because you would know that those that are covered by their employer, they share the portion of the contribution. So some employers are in a position to say, for this time, when maybe people are not getting their full salaries, the employer would carry the whole contribution. That has been an option. Another option is where some schemes have said, we will offer a payment holiday, however, we will not give you benefits. What that means is that ordinarily, a scheme rule might say, if you miss a payment, you are automatically suspended.
Yes.
And you would have to reapply or maybe catch up with payment later. But the intervention here says, if you skip payment, you would not be deregistered. However, your benefits will only be unlocked when you pay. There are some schemes who've done that.
Right.
And others have said things like, maybe there could be ex-gratia grants that are considered, etc. So each scheme would have looked at their own treaty and said, from the profile of our members, this is what we are able to do, and then they would consult with the council. Mm.
So South Africa has been working on flattening the curve during the lockdown, but as we further normalize our lives and lockdown restrictions are eased further, there is a concern, of course, of a spike in coronavirus cases. Given this reality, how concerned are medical schemes about this and the threat, you know, to their liquidity levels, because COVID-19 now falls under what's called the prescribed minimum benefit tag?
Yes, yeah. So I think the initial has always been the concern around a high claims experience. This is born out of the experience that has been seen in other countries. We're talking about the US and several countries in Europe. Mm. I think the comfort has been because the Medical Schemes Act has made a provision for schemes to put some money aside as reserves to actually cushion the blow. And I think that this is a time when schemes would look to funding for COVID and the excessive claims experience from the reserves. However, that can only last for so long. Mm. So I think it's been welcome news that the spread hasn't been as fast as first thought.
Yes.
And at the moment, the schemes are actually coping with what has been suggested.
That was Dr. Katleho Motsoadi. He's the MD of the Board of Healthcare Funders.